Welcome to the GCSE PE Study Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover everything you need to ace Topic 7.5, Evaluation of Performance, specifically Justification and Improvement. Whether you're sitting foundation or higher tier, this episode is going to give you the tools, the language, and the confidence to pick up every available mark. So let's get into it. First, let's talk about what this topic is actually asking you to do. At its heart, evaluation of performance is about three things: identifying a weakness in your chosen activity, explaining why that weakness matters, and then designing a detailed, justified action plan to fix it. Sounds straightforward, right? But here's where most candidates lose marks. They either pick the wrong type of weakness, they describe a plan without justifying it, or they forget to apply the theoretical principles they've spent the rest of the course learning. By the end of this episode, none of those mistakes will be yours. Now let's dig into the core concepts. The first thing you need to nail is identifying your major weakness correctly. OCR examiners want you to categorize your weakness into one of three areas: a skill, a fitness component, or a tactic. These are your three categories, and you must be specific. Saying your weakness is fitness will not earn you marks. Saying your weakness is cardiovascular endurance, specifically your aerobic capacity as measured by your VO2 max, that earns marks. Saying your weakness is passing is too vague. Saying my short passing accuracy under pressure in football deteriorates in the final third of a match due to fatigue. Now that's specific, and that's what examiners are looking for. Here's a structure I want you to memorize. I call it identify, define, impact, or IDI for short. First, identify the weakness precisely. Second, define it using correct terminology. Third, explain the impact it has on your overall performance. Let me give you an example. Imagine you're a basketball player. Using IDI, I have identified that my major weakness is muscular endurance in my legs. Muscular endurance is the ability of a muscle group to perform repeated contractions over a prolonged period without fatigue. This weakness negatively impacts my performance because in the fourth quarter, my jump height decreases, reducing my effectiveness in rebounding and reducing my team's possession rate. Can you hear how that answer flows? It identifies, defines, and then connects the weakness to real performance outcomes. That's AO3, analysis and evaluation, which is worth 50% of the marks in this topic. Half your marks come from that analytical depth. Now let's talk about the action plan itself. And this is where the FIT principles and the principles of training become absolutely essential. FIT stands for frequency, intensity, time, and type. Every single training session you propose in your action plan must address all four of these. Frequency: how many times per week will you train? Intensity: how hard will the training be? You can express this as a percentage of maximum heart rate, RPE, on the Borg scale, or percentage of one rep maximum for strength work. Time: how long will each session last? Type: what specific training method will you use, and why is it appropriate for your identified weakness? Let me give you a worked example of a FIT-compliant training session. Suppose your weakness is explosive power in a volleyball player. You might write, frequency, 3 sessions per week to allow adequate recovery. Intensity, plyometric box jumps performed at near maximum effort, approximately 85% of maximum effort. Time, 45-minute sessions, including a 10-minute warm-up and cool-down. Type, plyometric training, chosen because it trains the stretch-shortening cycle of the muscle, recruiting fast-twitch type 2X muscle fibers, which are responsible for explosive, powerful movements, such as the spike jump in volleyball. Notice how the type section includes a physiological justification. That phrase, recruiting fast-twitch type 2X muscle fibers, is the kind of theoretical language that earns you top marks. Now, alongside FIT, you must apply the principles of training. The key acronym here is SPOR: specificity, progressive overload, reversibility. Some of you may also know the extended version, SPORT, which adds tedium, or the FIT-VP version. For OCR GCSE, focus on specificity, progressive overload, and reversibility as your core three. Specificity means your training must be specific to the weakness you've identified. If your weakness is cardiovascular endurance for a long-distance runner, you should be doing continuous training or fartlek training, not heavy resistance work. The training type must match the energy system and muscle fiber type required by your sport and your weakness. Progressive overload is arguably the most important principle for your action plan. This is where you show the examiner that you understand how physiological adaptation actually works. The body only adapts when it is challenged beyond its current capability. In your 6 to 8 week action plan, you must show how the training load increases week by week. For example, in weeks 1 and 2, I will perform 3 sets of 10 repetitions at 60% of my 1 rep maximum. In weeks 3 and 4, I will increase to 3 sets of 12 repetitions at 65%. In weeks 5 and 6, I will progress to 4 sets of 10 at 70%. That progression is progressive overload in action, and examiners will credit it explicitly. Reversibility reminds us that fitness gains are lost if training stops. You can mention this in your evaluation. For example, noting that the athlete must maintain training frequency during the competition season to prevent detraining. Let's also quickly cover the concept of physiological adaptation, because this is what separates a good answer from an excellent one. When you justify a training method, you should explain what physical change it causes in the body. For cardiovascular endurance training, adaptations include cardiac hypertrophy, the heart muscle grows larger and stronger, increased stroke volume, and a lower resting heart rate. For strength training, adaptations include muscle hypertrophy, increased recruitment of motor units, and improved neuromuscular efficiency. For flexibility training, adaptations include increased elasticity of tendons and ligaments and improved range of motion at the joint. Dropping one of these physiological adaptations into your action plan justification will push your answer into the top mark band. Now let's move on to exam tips and common mistakes, because knowing what not to do is just as important as knowing what to do. Common mistake number 1, identifying a weakness that cannot be trained. Height, wingspan, bone structure, these are fixed characteristics. You cannot design a training program to make someone taller. If you identify height as a weakness, you will receive 0 marks for that identification, and everything that follows will be built on a foundation that earns nothing. Always choose a trainable component. Common mistake number 2, being too vague. As I said earlier, fitness is not an acceptable weakness. Neither is skill or technique. You must name the specific fitness component, cardiovascular endurance, muscular strength, flexibility, speed, power, agility, or the specific skill, passing accuracy, shooting technique, defensive positioning. Common mistake number 3, describing the plan without justifying it. This is the big one. Listing drills is not enough. Saying, I will do interval training 3 times a week is a description. Saying, I will perform high-intensity interval training 3 times per week because the repeated sprint demands of football require a well-developed phosphocreatine energy system, and HIIT has been shown to increase the resynthesis rate of phosphocreatine, allowing the athlete to recover more quickly between explosive efforts. That is a justification. The word because is your best friend in this topic. Common mistake number 4, forgetting to show progressive overload over the 6 to 8 week period. Many candidates design a single week of training and repeat it. That is not progressive overload. Show the examiner how the intensity, volume, or complexity of training increases across the weeks. Common mistake number 5, using unrealistic training volumes. Proposing 2-hour daily sessions for a 14-year-old is not credible. Keep your frequencies and durations realistic. 3 to 4 sessions per week, 45 to 60 minutes per session, is appropriate for a GCSE-level athlete. Now for our quick-fire recall quiz, I'll ask 5 questions. Pause the audio after each one and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1, what does FIT stand for? Pause now. The answer is frequency, intensity, time, type. Question 2, what is progressive overload? Pause now. The answer is gradually increasing the training load over time so the body is continually challenged and forced to adapt. Question 3, name 2 physiological adaptations to cardiovascular endurance training. Pause now. The answers include cardiac hypertrophy, increased stroke volume, lower resting heart rate, increased capillary density, increased mitochondrial density. Question 4. What is the IDI structure for analyzing a weakness? Pause now. The answer is identify the weakness, define it using correct terminology, explain the impact on overall performance. Question 5. Which assessment objective is worth 50% of the marks in this topic? Pause now. The answer is AO3, analysis and evaluation. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. You're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and reread those sections before your exam. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. Topic 7.5, evaluation of performance, is about identifying a specific trainable weakness categorized as a skill, fitness component, or tactic, and designing a justified action plan to improve it. Use the IDI structure to analyze your weakness with depth. Apply FIT to every training session you propose, and use SPOR to show you understand the principles behind the plan. Always justify your training choices with physiological evidence. Name the muscle fibers, the energy systems, the adaptations. Show progressive overload across the 6 to 8 week period. And remember, AO3 is worth 50%, so every sentence you write should be analytical and evaluative, not just descriptive. The difference between a grade 4 and a grade 8 in this topic is almost always the quality of justification. Anyone can list drills. The top candidates explain why those drills work, what they do to the body, and how they will be progressively overloaded to cause lasting adaptation. You've got this. Good luck in your exam and keep revising smart. See you in the next episode.